This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. On the bigger picture, I'm T. Shao Ik with Juliet Jacobs and Sumitra Selvaraj in the studio. Earlier, our first story was about seagrass and how, you know, we don't think enough, we don't pay enough attention to this ecosystem as a strategy to fight against global heating. In our second story, something completely different, but may have something to do with sea salt.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be discussing Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's daily morning practice of drinking water with lemon and I think it was half a teaspoon of salt. Yes. So what we're asking you on our BFM poll is whether any of these health trends work for you. And we've given you the choice of a keto diet, veganism, or perhaps you prefer another option, or perhaps you don't follow any trends. And at the moment, the results are overwhelmingly towards I don't follow trends, with over 70% of our listeners, you know, staking their claim for independence.
Very good.
Okay.
All right. You can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can even call us if you fancy, 0377-332900. We're going to be discussing that story up next.
I must say, only 8% saying they follow a keto diet is interesting, because whenever we do a show with a dietitian, we get a lot of questions about, you know, keto diet, does it work?
A keto diet isn't something that you can sustain long term anyway.
You're not supposed to.
People would be on it, you know, intermittently, I would say. But, you know, obviously, Jack Dorsey's habit is a daily habit.
Yes. So a glass of water with juice from a wedge, like a quarter wedge of lemon, and half a teaspoon of Himalayan sea salt. This is something he does every morning, which I think he mentioned in a media interview. And this is not very new, I'll admit. This trend has been going strong for a couple of years. You can find it all over Google. There's an article in Medium which claims that doing this or practicing this first thing in the morning will give you extreme health benefits. Among them, it can improve digestion, your adrenal function, and help to detox your body.
I wonder whether Jack Dorsey found out about this on his family WhatsApp group.
Perhaps, you know.
Or on Twitter.
But, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt and let's look at what's at the core of this practice, right? The proponents believe that it can address low stomach acid levels, which is apparently a quote-unquote very common condition. And because of low stomach acid levels, our digestive processes become impaired. For example, absorption of vitamins, assimilation of minerals, and our ability to destroy disease-causing pathogens in the gastrointestinal system.
Okay, so how does lemon and salt help in all of this?
Well, again, it is claimed that lemon and lime juice can improve and stimulate the production of stomach acid. Also, the high vitamin C content of limes is said to support glutathione production, which can improve the liver's detox capabilities. So a bit of background, glutathione is a naturally occurring peptide produced by the liver and body, but it's really popular in synthetic form as a supplement, and it's touted for all kinds of things, including antioxidant properties as well.
Okay, so that's the lemon. What about the salt? Apparently, it's supposed to facilitate bowel movement and adrenal function, which in turn produces hormones that regulate many of the body's processes. So proponents of this trend will also emphasize that you must only use sea salt or variations of colored salt, naturally colored salt, like Himalayan pink salt or fleur de sel, which are rich in minerals, and you should not use table salt.
Yeah, they make a real, they really emphasize that, you know, like table salt is bad for you and all these nice colorful pink salt.
Sorry,
or whatever.
That's enough. But, you know, I've also read other claims for this practice, including that it can help you lose weight, improve your blood flow, reduce stress hormones, and help you get a better night's sleep. I really need to sign up for this, if all of that.
Well, you know, just for... No, wait, before you do, Juliet. I mean, in everything that we've listed out come from the internet. There are lots of,
you yes. mean that source of information that we should believe for the gospel?
So
which many do.
So I thought we should speak to somebody who actually studies this and treats this for a living, Professor Dr. Aida Normiha Hilmi. She's a consultant gastroenterologist and hepatologist from University of Malaya. So I started off by asking her if there is any basis for the claim that a lot of people suffer from low stomach acid levels.
No, it's absolutely not a common condition. Yeah, so again, I don't quite understand how all this came about. Mm-hmm. There are some people with low gastric acid levels than the rest of the population, but these are people with either they have chronic infection like H. pylori, Helicobacter pylori. Now, some people with Helicobacter pylori with time, their stomach lining becomes a bit thinner, and so their gastric acid goes down. Because of the production of the gastric acid. There are some people with autoimmune conditions. We call them autoimmune gastritis, if you like, where basically, you know, the same thing happens. And these patients do have what we call hypochlorhydria or achlorhydria, where you do have low acid levels. But by and large, the majority of people do not have low acid levels in their stomach. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, of course, there are people with acid-related diseases, like acid reflux, or people who've got ulcers in their stomach who are given proton pump inhibitors. I don't know if you're aware of them. These are, or H2 antagonists. These are tablets or medications which are given specifically to reduce the acid in your stomach. But of course, the reason for that is, you know, because they need to have a lower, gastric acid level.
Okay.
For their conditions.
So setting that aside, if we just look at the claims being made by the proponents of this lemon and salt concoction, one of it is that they claim lemon and lime juice improves and stimulates the production of stomach acid. Can we talk about that?
There's no evidence of that whatsoever. I mean, lime and lemon juice, you know, it's citric, so of course it's a form of acid, it's mild. You know, I don't think there's any evidence whatsoever to show that. Lime and lemon juice are, of course, a good source of vitamin C. I think that much we won't argue on.
And they also say that citrus fruits in general help the liver to detox. So, now that's a, you know, that word detox, right? What exactly does it mean in the context of gastrointestinal health?
Well, I mean, that's the whole problem, isn't it? That detox is, of course, removing toxins from your body by definition. And we can remove toxins from we are removing toxins from our body all the time, be it through, you know, urine, sweat, you know, through our stools and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So the idea of these things sort of cleansing your body of toxins has never, ever been shown, essentially. Now, I did do a quick literature search, and there was one study in medical literature that looked at mouse models, which showed that it may have some antioxidant effect. But when you think of the fact that overall there's no evidence whatsoever, you know, and there's been no human studies that have shown this.
You also mentioned acid reflux earlier, and I read that one of the claims is that lemon and lime can relieve heartburn. Is that true?
Yeah, so that's the other thing that puzzles me, because, you know, things that definitely do relieve heartburn are alkaline substances. So, you know, if you use antacids, sodium bicarbonate or whatever, so these things can actually help heartburn because they help to neutralize a little bit the acid. And that's why this pseudoscience becomes very confusing, because on one level they say you have low gastric acid and you should take lime and lemon juice, but at the same time they say it can help with heartburn, but heartburn is actually not really due to a high acid secretion. But heartburn actually occurs when you have weakening of the valve between your food pipe, your esophagus, and your stomach. Mm-hmm. And when you have a weakening of this valve, then basically acid rises up to the esophagus and causes damage. So by definition, the treatment for heartburn has always been, and it's very effective and has been proven time and time again, acid, a treatment to reduce gastric acid. So it's completely paradoxical. It's, you know, that's the whole problem. The pseudoscience behind it, they themselves are completely inconsistent.
So let's look at the salt element. One of the claims is that salt can facilitate bowel movement, and there's also a strong emphasis on using sea salt, Himalayan salt, versus, you know, plain table salt. Do you want to talk a little bit about this practice of consuming salt water?
I can't think of any reason why anyone should be taking salt water. Because the whole basis of when you look at medical literature, it's always about reducing your salt intake. And I don't think it really matters whether it's table salt or sea salt or Himalayan salt or whatever, because the main component is still going to be sodium chloride. Mm-hmm. All right. And it's going to have all the effects that have been shown to be associated with salt. Now, of course, these things may have some additional minerals. I don't know. But the point is, this is salt and all the associated problems known, you know, for which is associated with salt. Salt has been linked to hypertension, fluid retention. If you actually look at medical literature, although the data is not so strong for normal salt intake, but, you know, the Japanese and the Koreans, they have high intake of salt from preserved salt, and they have a high incidence of gastric cancer. The data for normal salt is not so strong, but, you know, has been linked before. So I don't see any benefit in taking extra salt. Now, if you have diarrhea, you know, then you do need to replace your salt, because you are losing, you know, the salt from your gastrointestinal tract, in which case you need things like oral rehydration solution and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt salt is important. You know, it's important to preserve our plasma constitution and so on. But most people just take too much salt. And actually, I think most doctors agree that, you know, the best idea is to reduce salt, not take additional salt, be it Himalayan or otherwise.
Okay, so overall, what would be your advice with regard to this practice?
I think if you want to take lemon juice or lime juice, in moderation, you know, I don't see any harm in that, in the sense that, I mean, I don't think it's been shown to be detrimental. I think, as I said before, it is a source of vitamin C. Again, most people do get their vitamin C's from other sources, and usually it's adequate from diet, but, you know, in those where you want to have vitamin C, fair enough, I think that's okay. Salt, I certainly would never encourage a lot of people to take extra salt every day in their diet. I really don't see the point in that at all. That would be my take on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the problem is that a lot of people, they just want a quick fix. They, you know, they talk about detox and this and that. But unfortunately, the real way of detox is not to eat a lot of processed food, not to eat a lot of high-calorie food, to decrease the amount that you take, you know, overall, full stop. And then, of course, exercise. And the thing is, nobody wants to do that. I mean, I don't want to be self-righteous. I'm also not that great at doing things. But I will tell you one thing. I'm not actually going to fool myself into thinking that if I take lime juice and salt water, I'm actually going to counteract these effects, you know. Yeah. And that's what I think it all boils down to with a lot of these fads and, you know, pseudoscientific. They pretend that they are, and they give a lot of, you know, pseudoscience, which to a, you know, to a non-medical person would be confused by and sounds plausible. But actually, when you, you know, analyze it bit by bit, it completely falls apart.
So that was Professor Dr. Aida Nurmiha Hilmi, consultant gastroenterologist and hepatologist from University of Malaya, pretty much debunking the claims in this practice, or at least saying that fine, drinking some water with lemon every day is probably not an issue, but the salt is the big problem there.
It's a lot of salt. I mean, you know, you're talking about half a teaspoon of salt is just crazy.
Yeah.
Almost half of your regular?
Yeah, your daily intake, right? The Malaysian Dietary Guidelines recommends that we should limit our salt intake to 1 teaspoon a day. Mm. So if you're doing half a teaspoon in the morning and you take into consideration a lot of hidden sodium in everything else we eat throughout the day, a lot of hidden sodium because we eat a lot of packaged, processed foods and there's a lot in there. How many of us read food labels to see sodium content, if they are even declared at all, you know?
I must admit, I rather enjoy reading food labels, but that's also because I like grocery stores.
I never look at the salt, though. I always look at the sugar. So that's, you know.
And manufacturers don't have to label salt right now under current regulations.
Yes.
They will soon have to declare sodium, but not salt, you see. So that's where it could get tricky. You could have a hidden salt in there as well, increasing your sodium content without without you realizing it.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, you and I, Juliet, we were discussing this trend, weren't we? And just wondering why people latch on to things like that.
It's so easy, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, quick fix.
Quick fix, you know, everything's in your kitchen, essentially, and it has this whole range of things that it will cure. I was like, ooh, sign me on as well if this is going to work, right? It'll just solve all my problems with one quick sip every day.
And it's the perception as well, right? I mean, you see lemon being used in a whole load of cleaning aids, for example, and you're conditioned to believe that, you know, citrus is something that has a cleansing property of some sort. And salt is much the same, right? You know, you go to the beach and you get a cut, you know, your parents are always telling you, just go and dip it into the salt water, it'll be fine. So perhaps, you know, that's what it could do. But I do think that the good professor was being incredibly kind by calling it pseudoscience and not fake news, which is what it really is.
I also, you know, when I read the article in Medium touting this practice and listing in great scientific, terms and facts, what its benefits would be. And it made me realize how there's no way, unless you are a trained gastroenterologist like Professor Aida, there's no way for somebody like you and me to read through that and to be able to figure out whether it's true or not. So half of it is probably true, where they are explaining how the liver pathways work and things like that. And then how they bring in the
nonsense,
the mechanism.
Sorry.
How they bring in the mechanism of lemon and lime, for instance. So you can't separate them.
It is very believable. And it's like we said earlier off air as well, right? The moment it's couched, the moment it's closeted in pseudoscientific terms, just, you know, a little hint of the word extract, a little hint of the word cleansing is all what people need to make feel that I'm reading something that's credible.
And you throw in a few extra alphabets, you know, NACL2, you know, pathway to ZZAY, whatever.
And I think a lot of people just say, what is the harm in it, right? It's salt, it's lemon, it's water.
It's all natural.
It's all natural. Stuff. It's nothing processed in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. So what harm could possibly come? But obviously there is.
Yes. And I really feel that what you mentioned earlier on, Shaik, about hidden sodium, I mean, that merits discussion over and over again, right? People just don't realize the amount of hidden sodium in the food and beverages that we consume.
Beverages.
Yeah. I mean, if you were going to take, let's say, an oat breakfast drink, that would have sodium in it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Packaged cereal drinks would have sodium in it for sure.
Yeah. And food additives probably contain sodium as well. Well, we were asking on Twitter, has there been any movement on our Twitter poll on this topic?
Not much at the moment. We've had more responses, but, you know, we're standing firm with 71% of our respondents saying that I do not follow trends, 7% each for the keto diet and veganism, while 14% say they prefer another option. And I would not know what that option is. So if you could probably message us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us or even call us and let us know, what are these other options?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, as Prof. Ida has said as well, you know, part of this trend is possibly harmless, but the salt consumption is something that you really need to be very careful. And that goes for many dietary and food trends, especially those that encourage you to consume a lot of one particular kind of food.
Yes.
Or abstain from whole food groups, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to get the message through, but these can have adverse effects on the body that you don't see or that don't manifest until much later.
I feel that what people should and could do is before embarking on, you know, embark on all of any trend that you want that you feel that you've read up on. But if you're going to commit to a full health test before you start. Find out exactly what the lay of the land is in terms of your numbers, in terms of your hormone levels, in terms of your blood work, and then take those results to a doctor and say, how can I improve these numbers so that I'm a healthier me?
And if you're interested in finding more about sort of what could be other safety issues or risks if you're taking supplements as well, because that's something else that a lot of people turn to, Prof. Ida has come on our Health and Living show to, you know, sort of discuss whether it's safe to take supplements and herbs and even certain traditional medicine preparations. And you can download that podcast by searching for supplements on our website or on our BFM app. So just a quick, going round the table, New Year's resolution or just a lump of coal for you?
Lump of coal. Oh. Sadly so.
Just drink water, right?
Just drink, yeah, nice big glass of water every day.
Well, I'm not going to share my thoughts, but can I share a thought that's come in via WhatsApp from Sylvester Lee? Mm-hmm. She wants to know whether it was meant to be Himalayan rock salt and not sea salt. And that's right. The Jack Dorsey does have Himalayan rock salt, right?
Yeah, but if you search on the internet, a lot of them also recommend sea salt, pink salt. I don't even know what's the difference anymore.
Well, what Sylvester does is drinks lemon before her daily meditation is lemon and water, but also says it depends on what school of thought one believes in. They used to do lemon water every day, but for them, the whole lose weight thing is nothing but a fad. I'm so glad that you said that. And for diet, they're practicing something called intuitive eating. Eat when I'm hungry and eat small portions until I take the hunger pangs away. Try not to eat after 7 p.m., which is always a good thing to follow, or 4 hours before I sleep. And if you go to sleep fasted or semi-fasted, your resting heart rate would tend to be lower, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. Long story short, the human body is a wonderfully complicated thing and one mold doesn't really fit all. Exactly.
Precisely.
Yeah. That's a good point. So you really want to think twice before you start jumping on trends by Silicon Valley CEOs. That's all the time we have for today's show. Look us up on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture, if you'd like to drop us a message. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news on Live and Learn, Sumitra will be speaking to the president of the Malaysia Hemp Tech Industrial Research Association about the uses of industrial hemp.
That's right.
Yep. And so that's all we have for now. And we leave you with Fool's Garden with Lemon Tree, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.